can show display names, actually. I just realized. Ooh. I can put names. We have names.
Yeah.
Names. Ooh, are working.
Look at that.
Look at that. Hey. For whoever is listening to this for the recording, this is episode 1 of the Kamga Chasa podcast. And if you know anything about the Kamga Chasa, anything, is that names have been changed for years. And finally, I'm picking a name that I know that I'm not going to be changing anytime soon, so that we can ride along. And for episode 1, I'm bringing my good friend. We've been friends for like, at least, let me see, 10 years. Probably closer to 10 than not. Less, how long have we known each other?
Mm-hmm. How long? Probably like 10 years. I'm not even, who's count?
Who? Who's what?
Nobody. Probably like 10 years. Who's keeping count? Probably like 10 counting. Years. Can you hear me?
Somebody said, yes, 9 years, 6 months, 12 days, 4 weeks, and 22 minutes. But no. I've been friends for a while. Since and
2015.
Yeah. And yeah. Let me actually increase your volume here. I think it was a little bit low for me. And okay. I think, no, it's not you. It's my device. I'm using this Rodecaster to do this whole thing. And we've been having multiple conversations about a lot of different things. And I feel like whenever we've talked, I was like, why are we not recording this conversation?
Right.
Or even with Howard or with Yana, you know, with Mac, we've had really cool conversations. I thought we should record this conversation and the chat. So this is it. We're talking earlier. And I told you about the podcast I wanted to do based on the direction I'm taking in terms of my life and everything. And I was like, let's just do this. And I'm glad you came on board. So thank you for being here. This is awesome.
Oh, thank you, man. I feel like we never run out of things to talk about. And we always talk in different directions. It's like 1 minute we're talking about faith, and then the next minute we're talking money, and then we're back to African culture, Cameroonian culture. It's really all over the place, but I don't think there's ever quiet times in our conversations. Maybe we should have that, but it rarely happens because by the time I'm saying something, you're done, and then, you know, you're pitching in, and then it's just going back and forth. Like, so, like, okay.
Yeah. We've had periods during which we haven't talked. Like, when you just came and you started the army, like, you had to go for training. There were, like, you know, weeks and period. Funny enough, I was actually talking to somebody today. I was with this, my older lady friend. And
why are you laughing? Because I worked.
The whole lady friend thing. I mean, anybody who's watching or listening right now is good to what is funny, but one day we'll have the joke on the show, talk about a lady friend joke. But anyway, I was talking to this lady friend and actually mentioned that you sent me handwritten letters when you were training. You remember when you had base, when you were going through
I was at basic training for Jackson.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was like, that was the coolest thing anybody had done, because I had to send some because, you know, it's the U.S., so you have, like, post office, post office. Like, I was going to send, because registering a business, I needed to, like, send something to Michigan government or whatever. And I was like, yeah, let's just send me letters. I should get some stamps and start sending more letters. But anyway, so we've been, it's just nice. But this podcast was going to be called Adulthood is Not a Scam, because whenever I see memes about adulthood, I see memes about, oh, it's so difficult to be an adult. You know, I wish I was a kid. I shouldn't have never grown up. Part of me is always like, I don't know. This just seems wrong, because I would rather be able to pick my own kind of ice cream than to have someone else pick my ice cream for me. I would rather be able to come to my house at any given point. So I thought, just to begin this series of conversations around what it means to be a growing adult, because ultimately, and for anybody listening to this for the first time, this podcast is going to be about adults who are figuring out what it means to be an adult in our time. And that means a lot of things and different things for different people. It could mean what it means to be a responsible Christian adult. It could what it means to be a good parent, a millennial parent, for example. What it means to work and go to school and have a life. What it means to draw boundaries with African parents. What it means to travel across the world and build a life while leaving your family behind. Like, there's all these things about being an adult. I'm like, there's a lot of things we could talk about. So before I jump right into that, right, let's, for anybody who's listening to this for the first time, who has no idea who you are, can you just go ahead and introduce yourself and talk about what you want the person to keep in mind about you? But I'm sure they'll discover more as we're talking. Yeah.
Ooh, what? This always feels like, you know, a very difficult question. It's like in the moment, you never know what to say. And then I don't know if you know this guy, Diary of a CEO. It's very interesting because I think I mentioned that before, that I don't really enjoy his podcast, but I find myself consuming it. But he has, no, the thing that I love consuming podcasts is because I have a podcast myself and I'm really thinking of getting back into it. But what I usually find interesting is the manner in which, you know, the host asks questions. So that helps me. I pick up a lot from that. There's that style of asking questions but back to the question I was asked to introduce myself. You see what I'm talking? Well, all over the place. Well, as you can see from the display screen, my name is Leslie Mackenzie. I am 29 years old, born and raised in Cameroon, living now in El Paso, Texas, USA. I like to say that I work for the Department of Defense instead of saying that I serve in the military because I feel that's kind of cool.
What's the
That I
difference?
don't want that.
Oh, one is cooler than the other.
It's not like thank you for your service. I don't like making that obvious, but that's what I do now. But outside of the military, I do enjoy reading. I enjoy working out. Working out has been a huge part of my life right now. I listen to a lot of podcasts, which I already mentioned, and music. And then I have a very, very solid faith in Jesus Christ.
And one of the reasons why this podcast is actually coming to life is because very recently, and if you've watched any of my YouTube videos or the most recent video where I talked about this is not the midlife crisis, I was actually explaining at the end of that video for anybody who stays to the end that I'm finding myself in this position now where I feel called to be a better Christian and to actually follow the life, follow Christ and study the word and inculcate that aspect of my life, which I feel like I've been running away back into it. And so one of the reasons I think we're having this conversation now, and I feel a lot more comfortable having this chat with you, is because I'm finally getting to the point where I understand a lot of where you were coming from, I don't know, months ago, years ago. And you know, I used to see you share like WhatsApp statuses and prayer. Like I would see you do all these things. I was like, what is this? Who does this thing she is? Like, who do you think are better than who? I mean, just in my head, right? I wasn't saying it out, I was just in my head. But then now I'm
I think
realizing
we've
that,
all been there. We've all been
yeah.
there because, especially for those of us who went, and I didn't mean to cut you short, especially for those of us who went to boarding school, like a lot of the times when I reflect back, you could, you know, there's this thing that they say that when people have the light of Christ in them, there's something different about them. Like you don't, and I can see it now, you know, being on this journey myself, where these people that, you know, had already been exposed to their faith and they held strongly to that and they would, you know, they identified as Christians and they lived by it and they were out there preaching it. And it's always like, who do you think you're better than? You holier. And we did it. We did it unconsciously. Like and it can be even low-key considered like borderline, you know, being aggressive because it's like, or bullying rather, because it's like holier than thou, you know, we give like sister, I go call this person sister, like all these little tiny names that we used to give to these people. And then you grow older and you realize that, oh, I was the problem, you know, and I was part of that clique. And then you're like, okay,
It's there's so much that goes into realizing how much we judge people without first of all knowing who they are, what they are dealing with. And I think a lot of this whole adulthood path is when we judge ourselves, we don't even see how far we've come. We don't see how far we've accomplished. We don't see the things that we've been able to overcome by ourselves with our deficiencies, with broken systems. And then the message that I kept getting, which is what we'll talk about, and you know, I'm trying to get us back to stop because I can go in thousand places, is that I feel as an adult, first of all, what is an adult? Like if somebody were to define what an adult is, like what is an adult? Is it like you get to 18 or to 16? Like what defines an adult? I feel like I should just Google it first of all, because I think so an adult is probably like an older human male. Sorry, human older human, not a male or anything. But I'm curious, do you have a working definition, like when somebody says, oh, I'm being an adult, what does that mean to you? Like, not necessarily the biological definition, right? Just your understanding of what it is.
So as you were just talking, a few words came to my brain. I'm not going to put them in a sentence, but if I were to pick a word, it's like awareness. You know, once you reach that stage of being aware of who you are, aware of your environment, aware of certain things around you, there's most likely the fact that you're leaning into adulthood. There's also, you know, a desire to be responsible. You want to, and when we talk about responsibility, people think it's just, you know, bills, but it can look like making a right decision, maybe not drinking and driving, for example. That's being responsible. Maybe not being out late into the night, knowing that you have maybe a 6 a.m. class. Like, that is being responsible. That's being, and you know, a sense of duty. You realize that you're not just thinking about yourself. You're thinking about your friends. You're thinking about your family. You're thinking about your grandma and your nieces and your nephew. So if I really were to describe what adulthood is, it's like, you know, a mixture of those three things, where you become, you know, aware. There's a certain sense of responsibility being set in, and then, you know, guiding towards that direction of, you know, duty per se.
So you, if I understand correctly, themselves being making responsible choices basically comes to assuming responsibility.
I think assuming responsibility, because when you say making responsible choices, it seems like we always have to make good decisions. And it's not always the case that when we're
responsible,
adults.
May not be good.
Right.
And good may not be responsible.
Yeah.
I think the example of drinking and driving, right? That sounds like a good decision, which also is responsible. Now, I think I've confused myself. I'm trying to like hone in on what that definition is, because you give the example of somebody who, like, making the choice to not drink and drive is an adult choice or an adult decision, or somebody who considers themselves an adult would do that. What are the example? Like, let's look at a classic example. Like, what is an example of someone you say, okay, this person is being an adult right now?
Oh, you know what? I feel like when we talk about adulthood, you know what? I'm going to lean into, quote unquote, the bad sides of adulthood. Making poor decisions. You know, you make that mistake. So I'll use a case for those of us who are living, you know, an Occident.
that's abroad, yeah.
that's it. You mess it out. It's not very smart. It comes with a consequence, you know. You have
when you do what? Sorry, I think when you got disconnected,
can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Okay, yeah.
Yes.
So I was like, let's lean into, you know, poor decisions. Maybe a credit card. You maxed it out. Mm. You know? I can't think of anything on the top of my head, but maybe even just like a friend does something which is not right, and you know, you go ahead and you call them out on it, and maybe a friend hurts you and then you decide to forgive them. These are it's very much like being in tune with your emotions. Like, you're not just swayed by the wind anymore. You're not just moving with a group of people. There's like, okay, I'm putting up boundaries now. Okay, my friend disrespected me, or my friend hurt me, or maybe this person, like, it's just, it's little things here and there that make an adult. I don't think like this one.
Sounds like a lot of work. I mean, why would anybody want to be an adult when you have so much work to do? Like, you have to define boundaries. You have to be emotionally intelligent. You have to do the right thing when you don't want to do it. Like, why would anybody want to be an adult? And why, again, would people not believe that adulthood is a scam when you have all these difficult things that nobody prepared you for, nobody trained you to do? And you probably watch, like, your parents and uncles and grandparents are like, what are you guys doing? Like, I'm trying to be a better, I don't know, human. And you guys are not even helping. Not only are you not helping, you're making my life worse. And you do give me a good example, but you're making things difficult for me as an upcoming adult. And it's like,
all right.
As I'm talking to you, I'm almost sensing like by the end of this conversation, I might be like, yeah, maybe I know who is actually a scam. Because I'm thinking of how difficult it is in our time right now to do the right thing. You know, when you speak, one of the reasons why we're having, what we're talking is because you are on this journey as a Christian. I'm on my own journey as a Christian. And as much as we've been friends for a long time, you've been on this path longer than I have, and you've approached it from a very different angle. I've approached it from a personal development perspective of, I'm the firstborn child, I read books, I learn lessons, I make mistakes, all that stuff. And the reason why I don't like the term adult who's a scam is because I see people who justify their behavior to the government or their parents, or this is the way I was raised, or this is the way XYZ happened. And I'm like, no, you can make it different, you can change it. But now, I'm curious to know what gets people into that place of, I give up. Life is just so difficult. I don't think I want to be an adult. I think they lied to us.
It's, oh my God, that's a very broad question.
It is.
First of all, we're very much exposed, and, you know, it was, I'll even say 10 years ago, because a lot of the conversations that we're having now, we didn't have them when we were in Buya, for example. Yeah. As time is going by, you know, we're revealing a lot of ourselves, we're exposing ourselves, we're picking these, we're defining, we're using these words and defining these terms. And then sometimes, because there's so much information out there, it can get very confusing and misleading. Yeah. And so when we get this new information and we don't know how to process it, then we're like, okay, wait, what is going on right here? And then it's all of this mixture of things. And then that's where it gets really overwhelming. And then you're questioning it. And then there's these people selling things online that makes us believe that, you know, it's an overnight, you know, step. And then when it doesn't work overnight, then we get back to that place of confusion. So it's like when this whirlwind, we're just going round and round and round. But here's the thing. This is where I think there's a difference. We're in a generation where there's so much information, so much resources. Like, there's many tools to help us. But that's where you really have to take a step back and be like, what is it that I want? And this is very cliche, because probably if you've listened to podcasts, if you've listened to like the high end, I don't know, influencers, everybody has said it. But it's the reality, because there's no two of you. At the end of the day, there might be somebody that looks like me or that sounds like me. But there's going to be one little strand that makes that difference. And just because there's that little difference, it just nullifies whatever, I don't know, resemblance we had. And so it's a constant practice. I don't really think that adulthood is a scam. I know we say that, you know, because we joke around, and it really does get overwhelming, to truth be told, because, and like, how did our parents do this at this age? And then, you know, you and I, for example, I'm 29, you know, you're in your 30s, you know, we see a lot of divorces very common. And then, you know,
I was as a married, female in our
culture, as a female in our culture, 29, single, no kids, but people are raising their eyebrows and looking at you like, okay, what is going on? Are you okay? I'm straight, by the way.
Oh man.
You know, but I lost my train of thought. Anyways, go back.
Yeah, here's the thing. First of all, Mafo is watching, a couple of people watching and listening. So the goal here was that we're going to record this and just have a chat and then eventually have room for comments in the end. But I don't think it would be fair for you guys to be listening to us rant and just sit quietly. So Mafo left, by the way, Mafo, hi. What's up? Mafo left, first of all, she said, hey, guys. So respond, hi, Leslie. She said, hey, guys.
Uh-huh. Hi. Let me tell you,
Oh, no worries. So here's Mafo's response. And I think it's interesting because it actually, in a way, exposes the issues that we have in terms of what it means to be an adult. So I'm going to read that for anybody who's listening to this. Glory Mafo says, I think being an adult is realizing you have to take care of yourself first and then others. And taking care of yourself includes ensuring your mental, emotional, financial, physical well-being. Your parents, family, village used to do this for you, but when you get to start doing this for yourself, by yourself, you're an adult. What do you think, Kirsten?
So, while I do agree with this, like, we come from a culture where it's very community-based. There's usually no place for you to take care of yourself first. You go to school, you have a job, and then you take care of your parents. Like, literally, that is it. So, I mean, I understand that, which is what a lot of us are doing these days, and we're calling it boundaries and everything. But when you come from a community like ours, no, like, let's be honest, when you come from a community like ours where it's like you're not a child to yourself, you're a child of the community. It's just not the parent's child, it's like for everybody. So that in itself can be hard, because you look at your paycheck, you're like, okay, I have to send money to this auntie, to this uncle, and then I have to save, and then if there's help and there's any of these, and then you have family that wants you to be present in maybe whatever activities are taking place. And then sometimes I think that's where we have that friction. Honestly, I don't know how our parents did that. Chapeau to them. And
it's not easy.
I feel like that should be the definition. Yeah, I feel like that's right. The definition. Like Glory's definition, like Mafo's definition. I feel like that should be the definition. But it's usually not the case for them.
Yeah, I mean, I get that it's Mafo's definition, and I understand, and I see, because what this tells me is that, one, it's not an age, it's not like a number, it's not like a. Because think about it, if you are forced, and I use the word forced loosely, to take care of yourself very early on in life, you know, by either losing your parents or you're the only one who can actually do something about maybe the financial situation in the house. Imagine a 15-year-old girl who starts working because maybe her dad is not home or her mom is not home, and then she has to become to carry another emotional burden of taking care of everybody else. Now, you know, when you start to get to do this for yourself, by yourself, you're an adult, it means that people who get to take care of themselves too early, now they're adults, right? By this definition, I'm not saying that this definition is the correct one, but if we go with this definition, when they start providing their own needs, they're adults. But the question now that I think about is, should they be able to do this early? In a normal life, in a normal way that you're living, like, let me say, you go to school, you come back home, your parents are supportive. Maybe you don't even get your first job after college or university. You come back home, you stay a little bit. You know, you might become an adult like this, maybe in your 20s, maybe in your 30s, when you're leaving the house now not because you're running away from abusive parents, not because you're running away from people who don't get it, or you're trying to escape. You're going because you're like, you know what? I've reached a point in my life where I think I should be able to take care of myself. But that is like probably 0.1% of African families. And in America, I don't know how many people leave their homes and they are very happy to leave. They usually leave because, well, if I stay here, I will not have life, you know? So I see why people say that adulthood is a scam, because you run away from all these issues, these boundaries, these emotional, you know, things that are going on. And then you find yourself in a position where you're not equipped emotionally, financially, physically to handle the stress, psychologically, spiritually. And then you're juggling because you're trying to pay your bills and handle a relationship and feed yourself and work out and pray and save money, and then you get a call from your mom saying, why have you not visited me last week? It's been 2 months. It's been 1 week. Your sister is, you know, dating this boy. Talk to her. And you're like, bro, I'm just trying. I'm just trying to take care of myself.
It's really that. It's literally, I'm just trying. Like, I'm just trying to get out of there. Like, it's bad. And then, just like before you and I came on live, and then you shared something with me about, you know, the comparisons that happen sometimes with your dad, like if you're placed in a situation and it's like, I don't know. You're talking about this whole thing, and then I'm asking myself if there is a particular age to adult, because if you ask me, I mean, I started adulting at 25. That is when I was like, you know what? Yeah, old enough. Like, I feel like I really came into full adulthood at 25. That's when I was like, you know what? This is time. Like, and it's not very, I think circumstances played a part, but there was also that sense where I'm like, you know, it's that whole feeling sorry for oneself, feeling,
yeah,
you know, pity, and like, it's time I start making decisions for myself. And for me, it came at 25. Some people, it comes early enough. But my question anyway was like, do you think there's a particular age to start adulting, like a right age?
I think there is a right age, only because I want to believe that there's a reason why the legal, you know, drinking age is, or what, the age of consent, age of drink, like, I want to believe, and this is me being naive, mm-hmm. as a naive human being, that the people who decided that 18 is a good age for certain things probably looked at human history and were like, based on the average, most people around this age sort of know what they're doing in terms of XYZ. So I want to assume that it's the right age, which is probably 21. I want to assume that after 2 decades of life, you know, you've gone to school, you've done a couple of things, you're ready. Now, even though I want to think there's the right age, I also believe that there are people who are 40 years old who never got equipped to do all those things. People who are grandparents, who are still acting like 14, like teenagers and children, and who make life difficult for others. So as much as I would like to believe that, okay, by this age, you should be able to make good decisions for yourself, you know. But it, as I'm thinking about a country like America, you get to college by, I don't know, 18, 19, and you're supposed to make decisions about the rest of your life, where, you know, your major and student loans at this age. Like, how much life have you lived to be able to decide that for the next 7 years you want to become a medical doctor? Unless you're, you know, maybe you're passionate by the time you're 4 years old doing playing doctor and everything. But I don't know if it's as much as an age as it is a mindset. Like, there are people who are just a lot more mature. You know, people who are able to learn faster. But I think what is lacking a lot for majority of us is that we don't have models, mentors, and resources that are adequate to our situation. Take a typical Cameroonian young man. He's born, placed in the quarter, goes to primary, secondary school, you know, primary school, secondary school, probably boarding school, and then goes to UB. Where in UB does he get information about, hey, if you want to become a civil engineer, here are some paths that you could take. You know, you could get a scholarship, or you could get a part-time job working at this shop while you're going to school and save money. Or you could get a volunteer opportunity or an internship. Like, I think people stumble into their lives across the board. And the government in Cameroon or many African countries doesn't make it easier. For us here, right, you know, what we see when we came to the U, at least for me, is like, you have all these resources that are available that you can walk to an office and basically say, hey, I'm looking for this. And somebody like, sure, sit down, let me help you. In Cameroon, who's going to help you for what? Who would want to take their time out of their day to give you resources on which path, career path to take? How dare you bother my lunch that I've not worked anything for the whole day? But what I'm trying to say is that I think because of the way the culture is, the internet has leveled up the playing field in terms of getting resources to build yourself financially, spiritually, all that. But that initial push, that societal system that allows people to feel safe enough to try and fail, because, and I'm going to end with, to land on this one. What I notice is that a lot of kids, I'm a 30-year-old kid, a lot of children don't get to fail in an environment that allows them to make mistakes and learn from them. And so when they finish college or high school or UB, now they're supposed to find a job, be a good worker, get married, and have kids in, like, you know, 2 years.
So, you know, our parents are our first teachers. So are we also leaning towards the fact that, you know, we were sheltered by our parents? And when I say shelter, I'm talking about a typical middle-class family. You know, if you went to a boarding school, you're a middle-class family, period.
Or your parents sold everything for you to go, so you should be extremely grateful. But yeah, sheltered by our parents.
Yes, so because a lot of the times, let's say for example, and I was having this conversation with a friend, and he was just expressing his frustration about how if his parents had let him, because he has that hustling spirit, he was telling me that he's very hands-on. Like he likes going out there talking with people. And he said when he'll come back during the holidays and he'll want to go get like petty jobs, because that was another thing. Because we were raised with these standards, our parents did not, you know, if I had to wake up one night and tell my father that, you know what, I want to go learn shoe mending. Oh my
She'll be like,
God,
are you
hell no.
hungry? Do you need food?
I
What is this? You want to disgrace me? What will my friends say when they see you in the
It's almost like a you know, a double-edged sword where it's like we were, I don't want to say sold this narrative, but it, for lack of a better word, I'll probably use that, where, you know, go to school, you know, once you, it was really sold in our head that when we go to school, once we, it's like we thought that a job would be waiting for us, like those interns. But like, think about it. When you look at the high-end schools, and even like some of the schools here, once a kid is, let's say, if you go to the Harvard and all those things, you start doing like internship, which I think that was one of the things that I admire about the university that I went to. I saw a lot of similarities with the American system of education. First of all, with the fact that it was a 4-year college degree program. Second of all, with the fact that from freshman year, like they'll call it, you were already introduced to that workspace. You were already introduced into that familiarity of being in a workspace. When you think about it right now, you can see that because I remember doing an internship in my freshman year, and then I did another one in my sophomore year, and then in your junior year, you had what they call a work experience, where basically the entire semester was for you to secure an internship. Well, now, did a school provide us internship? For the most part, no. For some people, yes, but we were, and that's another good thing, because they taught us, we already come from a country where there's a lot of difficulties. So it was like, you know what, if you really want to go get this internship, which you knew your semester result depended on that, because you were supposed to produce a report at the end of that internship, you had to go out there and look for that internship, and then you secure your internship and you make sure you had, because you were going to be quizzed on that. And then, you know, your final year, you did your project or your defense, whatever that thing was called. But again, just if we had system put in place like that, you know, it already exposed us to that mindset, especially getting back to the country where we come from, where it's very much of a hassle when it comes to getting jobs and everything. So our parents protecting us,
I don't know if it's
I kind of
protection
want to
as
say
much
that.
as I think what happened is, and as you were talking, I was thinking about what we also talked about earlier in terms of comparing different times, right? Our parents had different sets of problems, just like they had different sets of rewards. For example, when my dad went to school, they were paying them to go to school. So you went to school, you had an assured job with the government, you had a matric when you're done. That's it. Like you didn't have to think about what would I do when I graduate. So when you go in an environment like that, what you expect is that you will tell your children what you know. So as much as I want to think that our parents were, you know, sheltering us and everything, I also just think that they did what they thought was best based on their experience. Now we live in a world where you have a 6-year-old. I saw this young girl who is like a model. She interviews like models and everything. She's like on the cover of GQ and everything. She's her goal is to be a fashion police type person. You know, you have like kids, like I think it's a YouTube dad or whatever, that like kids open toys and have make millions on YouTube from just doing that. Like the times in which we've lived and the way our parents lived was very different. So any parent who just took, copied and pasted what worked for them is basically preparing their children for failure. The same way that when we become parents, we can tell our children entrepreneurship or, you know, YouTube or internet, we can tell them what we think works now, but that may not work at that time. So would we wish if we tell our children like, hey, you don't have to go to college, you know, start a YouTube channel when you're 2 years old. So by the time you're 16, you have it with thousands of subscribers or whatever. It's like you would tell them what you know now. And I think that's what our parents did. They told us what they thought would work. I don't say they were wrong. They were just misinformed by the times, and I can't blame them for it. So, and then add the government in there and the systems and those old people who are running the systems, who are exactly like our parents or even older than our parents. Like, they're living a very different time, you know, with inflation and cost of living and just societal changes. They're in a very different mindset. It's like the whole, I don't know if you saw the Budweiser ad or whatever. It's like executives are living in a different planet, and then they don't know that the consumers are in a very different location. Like, you have these people who are like, yeah, you know, go to school, get a degree. But the real life is like, bro, my degree will not give me a job, but they don't know it. So maybe our parents sheltered us, maybe they protected us, but I think what they did, they just did what they thought was the best. And that's like for the most safe parent, because there are other parents who are, they just make their kids' lives miserable, man. Yeah. Martha was saying to your point, she said, our context makes the adult threshold quite blurry. Yeah. It's like you can be a 30-something-year-old and you realize that you have a lot of personal growth to do, and then you don't have even the time to do it because everybody's like trying to catch up on everything else and wanting you to do things I should not be doing. But yeah, but I don't think adulthood is a scam. Only because in my own experience, when you find out that, okay, my parents did not prepare me for this, my country did not prepare me for this, my life sucks, you have the opportunity to make something, to do something different. That's just my personal philosophy, that giving up and crying and sharing memes, it will not change anything. It hasn't changed it for me. I don't know about anybody, but memes are great for laughter, sure. But they will not give me food. Yeah. Memes will not give me food, so.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
I really think that, I mean, think about it. If we were supposed to remain kids all our life, like, what would our life look like? So adulthood, in a sense, is not a scam. Like, we go through different phases in our life. So when I used to have, TikTok? When I used to have TikTok. But I've come across...
You make it sound like it was, 10 years ago. It's like, yeah, when I used to be on TikTok.
Right. Well, but anyways, I have come across a couple of videos where I've had these people ask, mostly the older generation, like, what does it feel like to be 50 now? And what does it feel like to be 60? And you can see that there's a lot of transition. A lot of them as well struggle with a lot of things that we're struggling right now. The only difference is that we're really talking about it. We're out there, we're shouting, we're advocating, we're making noise everywhere.
Making podcasts.
We're writing. We're making podcasts. Yeah, but a lot of them talk about the fact that, you know, being in their 50 feels great. They talk about, in terms of health, they say they can feel their body aging. They don't have the same strength. They easily feel tired. But they also talk about this sense of being, it's almost like a freedom, where they really don't have to worry. Like, we are right here worrying about saving for houses, getting married, starting a family. By them in their 50, those kids are grown up for the most part, you know? And so they don't have to worry about that. They just, maybe their safety, but those kids are able to make decisions for themselves. So it's not so much of a burden for them. Their lives have been achieved. They're not worried about the expectations of other people. They're not worried about, you know, people's opinions and, you know, all of those things. So just to say that.
Yeah. I feel like
we move from, you know.
Mm-hmm. I really don't know. I don't want to interrupt you. I'm just thinking about the fact that a lot of the content that we see on TikTok, right? These are people who are in the Western world. I've hardly come across Africans or Cameroonians, let me speak, in their 50s, 60s, talking about their experiences. Because I think we live in this world now where a lot of what we think is happening in the world is dictated by what is happening in America.
Oh, I get that. I think so for our culture, I think we have a problem of, I don't know if it's a problem. I think.
It's good to think. It's better than I feel. We're not very open, are we? We're not very open. We're not very expressive.
It is. I find it problematic. We're not very expressive. I feel like there's so much secrecy when it comes to our culture.
Yeah.
There's so much. It's almost like you're constantly looking over your shoulder. And let me just say this. I've had disagreements with my parents on certain aspects because they have felt maybe either I'm oversharing or maybe I am exposing. And my philosophy is that why, I don't know, I have a problem with shrinking myself because I just feel like I did a lot of that as a kid, where I was always, be quiet, stay quiet, don't talk, don't do that. I feel like I'm going through a coming of age per se, for lack of a better
And
word.
adulting, you're becoming
That
an adult.
every time every time somebody says something like that, it's like you're denying me the possibility of being myself. Like, you've lived your own life and you've made your own decisions. And I know our parents always mean good for us. It's never to hurt us. But sometimes that it doesn't really come out, it's not well received, and it's not always coming out, with the best intentions. And
Yeah.
for me especially, it's secrecy. It's this constant watching over our shoulders. And just to link it, for me who, because I take words as somebody who writes, as somebody who reads a lot, as a poet that I like to identify myself on a good day. Let me find my
Give
ego.
me a good day.
I take, and as a Christian, who has this firm belief in Christ, and I duly truly believe the words of the Bible, and I try to live my life by it. And if God is telling us all of these things, like, don't worry, why are you afraid?
Yeah.
It almost seems like hypocrisy that I have to live in a constant state of fear because I'm worried that maybe some auntie or some uncle, and I'm not discrediting the fact of, like, sorcery and all of those things. Like, those things are real. But if I constantly have to live in that place of fear, then I'm never going to live my life. And that is the thing for me. That's where I should, I'm like, if I truly say I'm a child of God and I believe in God's word, if harm has to happen to me, then it's going to happen to me. There's nothing that I can do, that is, if we can get off this phone call and I die and I die and I die and that's it. There's nothing that I would have done because I didn't bring myself here to this earth. So if I'm leaving this earth, there's nothing. But just to go back to this whole idea, and I know it's a lot of shame, it's a lot of secrecy, and I don't get it because we're very. It's very much like we come from a community. If somebody has a baby, we're all there turning up. We're all there coming out there. If somebody loses a family member, we're there for an entire week. We're cooking, we're cleaning, we're doing all this waking. And if we're doing all of these things, why are we not sharing our struggles? Why are we not sharing the things that carry the heaviness? And that bothers me a lot. Oh, this is why I should get back to writing a podcast. I'm speaking this out. Again, I'm fanning my ego. So if you're watching this, I
Go
get
ahead.
vain sometimes, but okay, I'm
That's
unapologetic about it. So that's where, I question myself sometimes about that. It's like, if we're really out there, we have all these massive, like, you see people online, we have all these massive baby showers,
yeah.
and then there's a friend maybe struggling with infertility, or maybe there's somebody struggling in their marriage, or maybe just maybe some financial struggle, but we're on there, we're holding on to it, and we're dying. One of the philosophies that I have in life is that, I take my friends like the way I take myself, and I treat them the way I know I want to be treated, and I love on them with every aspect of me. And if I give a friend a piece of information and then they choose to, I don't know, make mockery of it or, share that information, so be it. But I'm not going to stop, sharing a part of myself just because I'm scared about how others look. That's a prison, Like, we're talking about this whole adulthood and all these things that we want to be. That's already a prison in itself that we're struggling to get out of, by making some of, quote unquote, the right decision. And so if I
Yeah.
have to deny myself of being me, what's the point of living?
Bars. Mic drop. I think it's just in here so that anybody will just finish listening to this and you'll be more frustrated. Like, I came here to get answers and now I'm leaving. I'm just leaving and I'm more frustrated than before. All right. We've already been talking for like 45 minutes, almost 45 minutes. Yeah. And I was hoping to get it as that's, I put a timer. So we should not go far because I know that we can go for like 2 days. But let's end with a good note. And by good note, I mean with someone comes here today. And this is, I'm going to start and then you can, you know, go next. If someone came here today and they were in the mindset of, you know what, Kanga, I'm getting you saying that I always know it's Kanga, but my life is, I feel overwhelmed. I'm not able to keep up with all my engagements. I feel pulled in multiple directions, my family, within myself. I don't think I'm accomplishing anything. I'm getting older. And you're telling me adulthood is not a scam. What are you talking about? First thing I'll say is give your life to Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Jokes aside, I do believe that having something that is bigger than you is going to provide you with a sense of humility that I think everybody needs. Because when we put this pressure on ourselves that we have to accomplish, we have to do this thing by this age, I have to be a mom, a dad, a parent. Bro, I've put myself on that same pressure. I've seen myself gain weight, lose weight in like 1 week because I'm like, I have to do this thing. But then now I'm still working out. I'm still working on losing weight, but I'm no longer feeling like I need to get a specific result by a specific time. Only because I know that I need to focus only on what I can do, which is probably the only advice, if I'll call it advice, I'll give anybody is like, what can you do? Do it. That's it. Because we try to do things that we cannot do. For example, let's say you're in the US and you want to buy a house. Can you buy a house? Like, honestly, check your finances, check your money, check your spending, check your budget. Can you do it? No, they don't do it. And it sounds stupid. It sounds very boring. It's like, okay, I want to change jobs. Can you do it? No. Okay, then don't do it. So then I guess the next step is, how can you put yourself in a position to be able to do it? Do you need to get a new certification, training, school, degree? Do you need to change industries? Do you need to talk to somebody? I think if adults focused on what they could do, a lot of things will fall in place. Because, for example, I'm angry, I lose my temper. Can you stop losing your temper? No, I can't. Okay, what do you need? What can you do then? I can learn how to manage my anger. I can go on YouTube, like how to manage anger issues. I mean, what you said is true about, we have so much information, so much access. I think people just don't even want to think about that first step of what can I do? You can ask questions. You can acknowledge your current position. You can seek help. You can talk to people who have proven over the years that they can be trusted. I think, and I'll end here with this whole, I could talk for hours about this thing, is that we feel adulthood is a scam because we are not prepared for it. And the only way we can overcome this feeling is to prepare ourselves for it. And it could take longer than it seems, but if you're already here and you're already making it work and you're, you know, juggling 1,000 balls, maybe you need to drop a few balls, you know, get some help with some juggles or improve your juggling skills, but it's about what you can do. So let's end this on a more positive note for somebody who is struggling with that, because once people come here and feel more confused than they were at the beginning.
Right. So yeah. What I'm going to say is that there are things which are not going to change. We're always going to have bills to pay. And this is one of the things that I understood like really, really early on in my, either in my teens or my 20s. Once I started working, even as like the little jobs, I understood that work is always going to be work. That is not going to change. 20, 30 years from now, you still need a job. Like, this is part of being on this earth, paying bills and all the things like making, creating a family, getting married. Like, these are things that in a way have been set. Now, the only control that you have is what you're doing. So let's say if you choose not to get married, for example, so you've already taken away that burden, you know. Let's say if you choose to maybe not go the regular 9-to-5, you've already taken away that burden. So again, the decision lies again back in your hand. But my final closing phrase will be from Luke 12, verse 25. And I've read this a couple of times, but he me every time. It says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And then it says, since you cannot do these very little things, why do you worry about the rest? Like, just think about it. Every time that you worry, it's a second is not added, a second is taken away, an hour is not added, an hour is taken away. And if you're worrying about these things like jobs and everything, which are the realities of life, because we also have to be in acceptance that this is our reality. We have to pay bills, we have to pay taxes, we have to file taxes so that the community can function and all of this kind of thing. These are the things that come with it. Now, does it get overwhelming? Is that sometimes is the system playing with us? Yes, but we're not billionaires to go say we're going to go down on the streets there and march and everything. So you have to be able to accept this. You know, it's just like the way you were saying, like some of us are, we're not prepared for it and we're so much in denial. You said about accepting it. So if you're worrying about all these things, you know, and which does not even add an hour to your life, why are you worrying about the rest? Like, do what you can, you know. And it's funny because even in your 30s, in your 40s, you're still going to be figuring out. Because guess what? By the time you start having kids, you start worrying about how to parent. And then when those kids are gone, you're like, okay, how do we pay for college? So it's a never-ending cycle. And the better you accept that and find ways in which you can adapt. And there's no standard way. What works right now is not going to work in 5 years. But I think that's what I have to say. And don't give up, man. That's the one thing that I would say. Don't, if you can get lazy, it's okay. You can get slow. There are days where you feel like not waking up. You know, there are days where your spirit gets really crushed and you feel like you're failing. Oh my God, if it's that one, I'm champion. And it, like there are many times that I feel like I'm failing at this thing called like I even tell myself, I look at myself in the mirror and it's hard. And I'm like, man, you are ridiculously failing at this. And it's like there are days where I'm like, you're crushing this thing. A on A plus. Like, don't give up. Don't give up. Like, just keep pushing, man. As cliche as it sounds, like don't hold on to that tiny strand of faith. Like, even if that it break. Cola. You will be surprised.
Yeah, that is a very cool. I mean, I don't think I should add anything here, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this in different ways. But this is the first episode for anybody who's watching, listening. Les has been here.
Vote for
gems.
Me to come back.
Yes, you have to vote for Les to come back. This is going to be an ongoing conversation. I can't tell you if it's going to be weekly, daily, or whatever it is, but. You should be able to find it at some point on Apple Podcasts and all those places. But if you like it, please go ahead and like it and share it and drop comments and tell people and reach out and let me know if you enjoy this format, if you hate it. And if you hate it, I'll probably not talk to you. But yeah, just let me know
that you love for it. My pink bonnet. So.
Yeah. <It's>... Marfa is already voting for you to come back, Leslie. Come back, Leslie. So yeah. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We're going to talk more about this and more about what it means to live as an adult, you know, relationships, spiritual life, money, building, you know, starting from scratch, building a new career, all the things that requires you to learn from the mistakes that you've made and just make better decisions in the future. Being a parent in your 20s, 30s, 40s, living in a world that is so full of access and information, I guess, just a lot. And I think we just need to help each other out. Yeah. Mama says, thank you both. It's refreshing to listen to you echo most of my thoughts and feelings about being an adult. Thanks for your insights. You're welcome.
Aww.
You're welcome. Yeah. I look forward to giving opinions that you would not agree with, because that's the part that I know that I'm growing. Because if all of us are saying the same thing, then something's wrong. All right. Guys, I'm going to end the broadcast here. Thank you for hanging out and we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.
Let's see, don't leave her. Just hang out there first.